Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Chagiga, Daf Yud Ches. We're going to begin two lines from the top, Yud Ches, of an Aleph. Yesterday we had a discussion as to where we see the mitzvah of Tashlumim by Shavuos. Where do we see the concept that if you couldn't bring your Chagiga or your Olas Riyah on the first day of Shavuos, you had the 6 days additional Tashlumim period, a total of 7 days you could bring the Karbanos that you're obligated to bring. So we brought down two reasons, which we said were mutually necessary, each one for the other, to teach us this din. Today we're going to bring down a number of other sources. So we begin two lines on the top, Yud Ches of an Aleph, Reish Lakish Omar. Reish Lakish is another reason for this din of Tashlumim. The Pasuk tells us, and we have the words Jas V'chaka Kotzir, the rest of the Pasuk tells us, Bikurei Ma'asech Hashem Tizrah Basodeh, that this is the Chag, the holiday, Chag of Kotzir, of harvesting. Now, which holiday is that? Ezu Chag Shato Chogeg the Kotzir Bo. Which holiday is the holiday of harvesting, that you will go and have a holiday around the time of the harvesting? So, which holiday is that? Harei Omer Zatzeres. This is Shavuos. Shavuos comes out at the same time as the harvesting. Now, Emas, when exactly is this holiday that was supposed to be Chag HaKotzir, to bring the Korban Chagiga? Amos, when is that? Ilay Ma'a B'yontiv. If you tell me it's on Yontiv itself, Ksir B'yontiv Mishari, you're not allowed to go and harvest on Yontiv. Everybody knows that. So therefore, can't be talking about the actual day of Yontiv. And yet it's called Chag HaKotzir El Alav Tashlumim. Isn't this a raya to the fact that there is a Tashlumim period of time? That's Reish Lakish's understanding. Rav Yochanan doesn't like this. Amar Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan tells him that that's not true. Amar Rav Yochanan, the Masoros HaShas changes his around and says, Omo Le, Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan is having a conversation, so he speaks directly to him. It's not a stam statement that Rav Yochanan made. Rav Yochanan responds to Reish Lakish, and he says, El Miata, based upon what you're standing. So then when it calls Chag Ka'asif, which we have another pasuk, which tells us that Sukkot's time is called Chag Ka'asif, so does that mean that Sukkot is the end of this pasuk? He tells us Chag Ka'asif, but says HaShanah, so this holiday of the gathering in of all of the crops. So, Ezehu Chag Sheishbo Asifa. What is the Chag that is the Asifa? Hevi Omer Zeh Chag Asukah. So, this is a Chag that you have to bring Korban Chagiga at the time of the gathering in. So, this is Sukkot, this is referring to. Now, Amos, when on Sukkot are we supposed to be doing this? Elema B'yontiv, you're telling me it's on Yontiv itself. So, Melacha B'yontiv Mishari. So, you're not allowed to do Melacha Yontiv, so you can't be telling me specifically about the Yontiv. So, then when is it? If Melacha B'yontiv is Mishari, so it can't be talking about the Cholamite either. Ela B'chol Shomai. Also. So it can't be talking about the actual day of the Yontif that you're allowed to do the Asifa, because you're not allowed to do that on Yontif, but you're not allowed to do that on Cholamoid also. They clearly all hold, we'll see in a moment, that Reish Lakish agrees with this. He doesn't argue and say, no, you can't do the work on Chol HaMoed. So everybody agrees that you're not allowed to do this on Chol HaMoed. So if it's not allowed to be done on Yontif, if it's not allowed to be done on Chol HaMoed, what does it mean when it says Chag HaSif? Ela what? Ela Chag HaBa Bizman HaSifa. It's just talking about a general time, that this holiday comes out in the general time of the year, when it's the Asifa period of time. So therefore, if that's the answer for Sukkot, that's the same answer that we have for Shavuos, when it said that Shavuos is Chag HaKotzir, Chag Hachanami Chag Haba Bisman Ketzira, but it doesn't tell me anything about Tashlumim. So Rabbi Yochanan schlugs up Reish Lakish's riot. Now, what do we see from here? Miklal the Gemara says that Tarvayu, both Rabbi Yochanan and even Reish Lakish, Sir Lahu, the Cholu Shomoyd, also Besiyas Melacha. You see clearly from the answer that Rabbi Yochanan gave to Reish Lakish that you're not allowed to do Melacha on Cholamoyd, and Reish Lakish doesn't say, yes, you are. So the fact that he says, no, I agree with you, you're not allowed to do melacha on Chol HaMoed, that means everybody, Tavayu, both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, hold that you're not allowed to do melacha on Chol HaMoed. Minanimili, where do we know this? And there's a famous machlokis in the poskim. Is this Gemara now that we're going to go through? Rashi seems to suggest that this is, in fact, a real din d'oraisa, and it's just up to the rabbis to decide what are the particulars of this din d'oraisa, whereas the opinion of Tosus and others is that this is all an asmachta, and that the issa of doing melacha on Chol HaMoed is a derabbanan. In any event, we'll just learn it straight over here as if it was, like Rashi says, as if it were deraisa, all of these psukim are actual drushes. We'll bring a number of different opinions as to where we see that it's also to do melacha on Chol HaMoed. Again, there are a lot of heterim under what circumstances, a dover aved, for example, if it's going to cause you a financial loss, you are allowed to do melacha on Chol HaMoed, but in essence, there is an isser of melacha. You can't just do whatever you want on Chol HaMoed. There are rules that are applicable in terms of not doing melacha, either, as I said, on a deraisa level or on a derabbanan level. And the first source for not doing melacha Chol HaMoed is in the following brisa, the Tanur Rabbanan. The pasuk tells us, "Es chag ha-matzos tishmor shivas yomim." That's the part of the pasuk that we quote over here. And we learn after me, "Alimid al cholo shomoy she'asu basis melacha." And you see from this pasuk that you're not allowed to do melacha because it says, "And on chag ha-matzos, you have to go and watch shivas yomim, that you have to eat matzos, and therefore you're not allowed to do any work." That's what the word Tishmor comes to tell us you should be shomrit from doing melacha. So this is the opinion, Cholomoyd is also Basias melacha, divrei Rav Yoshia. However, Rav Yonasan gives a different reason. Rav Yonasan Omer, Eino Tzarech, no, you don't need this pasuk. I have a different way you can learn this out. He says you learn it out from a Kal v'chomer. What's the Kal v'chomer? Umar, Rishon, Vishvi, the first and last days of Pesach, where it says specifically that you're not allowed to do melacha, those are days where it specifically asers melacha, and she'ein kiddusha lefneim lachreim, that these days don't have kiddusha in front of them and behind them. What does that mean? That the first day of Pesach, so the day before the first day of Pesach, there is no kiddusha to that day specifically. Well, it is a day that we're bringing the Korban Pesach, but it doesn't have a certain kiddusha to it until the nighttime when you eat the Korban Pesach. So there's no special kiddusha of not doing melacha the day before Pesach. Likewise, the last day of Pesach, there's no Kiddusha afterwards. Well, it is Isru Chag, there are certain dinim that are applicable to it, but there is nothing special about it. So if the first and last day of Pesach, which don't have something before them, or don't have something after them, first day doesn't have anything before it, last day doesn't have anything after it, nevertheless, also Basias Malacha, you now have to do Malacha on the first and last days, so certainly Chol HaShomayim, which has Yesh Kiddusha Lefneim Lachreim, that every day Chol HaShomayim has Kiddusha in front of it, the first day, and has Kiddusha behind it, the last day. So therefore, certainly these days that have Kiddusha Lufneim ulachreim eino din. It's a kavu chomer. She also basias melacha that they should be forbidden to do melacha. That's Rav Yonason's argument. The Gemara says, wait a second. Let's see if Rav Yonason is correct. You're telling me this kavu chomer. So what about then the regular days of the week? Sheishes you may bereishes the 6 days of the week. They will prove that Rav Yonason is wrong. Yochichu. Why? Because sheish kedusha lufneim ulachreim Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday have Kedusha before them, the Shabbos beforehand, and they have Kedusha after them, the Shabbos after them. And nevertheless, obviously, Mutarim Basias Melacha, allowed to do work during the week. So this seems to disprove the Kal v'chomer of Yonason. So where it says, Rav Yonason would reply as follows, no. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday on a regular week don't have a Karban Musaf. Are you going to say the same thing applies to Chol HaMoed, which does have a Karban Musaf? Tomar b'chol HaShomayim she'esh b'Karban Musaf. So therefore, the Kal v'chomer is a good Kal v'chomer, and you can't bring me any raya from the days of the week. Our question is, it says, wait a second, Rosh Chodesh Yochiach she'esh b'Karban Musaf u'mod v'asiyas melacha. Rosh Chodesh, however, is an example where you do have a Karban Musaf, and nevertheless, it's permitted to do melacha. So it can't be the aspect of bringing Karban Musaf that makes it also to have melacha done. So Gemara says, no, Mala Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh is different. Shein Kari Mikra Kodesh, it doesn't have the description of being Mikra Kodesh. As opposed to Chol HaMoed, Toma B'Chol HaShomayim, Shekari Mikra Kodesh, Chol HaMoed is called Mikra Kodesh. So therefore, there's a difference in the din over here. And therefore, Rav Yonason says, Hoel, since in this situation, the Kari Mikra Kodesh, and it has Kedusha beforehand, and it has Kedusha afterwards, so din hu she'asa b'asiyas melacha. So that's what makes it asa melacha. You can't compare it to Rosh Chodesh, you can't compare it to the regular days of the week. They don't have both aspects over here, that they're called Mikra Kodesh, and that they have Kedusha before them and afterwards. Therefore, Rav Yonason says, this is the source, the Kal v'chomer, not to do work on Chol HaMoed. Tanidach, another brisa tells us, it says, Kol meleches avodah lo sasu. Now that's the end of the pasuk. The next pasuk starts, Shivas yomim takrivu ishe l'Hashem. Now, we put these two psukim together, and we darsh it as follows. Kol meleches avodah lo sasu, and then you add on Shivas yomim. So you're not allowed to do melacha all 7 days. And this is the drasha, this brisa tells us, Limeh l'chol shomayid, also b'asiyas melacha. This teaches us the Chol HaMoed, it's also du melacha, divrei Rav Yosef Glili, by combining the end of the first pasuk with the beginning of the second pasuk. So this is Rav Yosef Glili's source for not doing melacha Chol HaMoed, because it says, Komplex avodah lo sasu shivas yamin. So therefore, that's his source. Rav Kiva Omer, Eino Tzarech, no, I don't need that pasuk. Harei Omer, because we have a different pasuk that tells us, Ela Moadei Hashem, v'gomer, and we know the famous pasuk, many people say this in Kiddush, on Yontif, El Moadei Hashem, v'koyei Kodesh, asher tikro som Moadom. So this pasuk tells us, what's the pasuk talking about? In Barishon, he's telling us the first day, already we know, Harei Kvar Nehemar Shabbason. We already know that it's referred to as Shabbason. Now, in the girsa that we have is Vashvi, but Rabbeinu Chananel and others bring down over here that Ibashmini it should be Hari Omer Bayom Hashmini Shabbason, and they use a different pasuk. They say that this is talking about the pasuk that says that the 8th day Shmini Atzeres Hari Kvar Nemar Shabbason, that this references to Sukkot and not to Pesach. Well, it would technically be right for Pesach as well, but the actual reference over here is to Sukkot. So the first day and the last day, they are considered Shabbason. Hare Kvar Nehemar Shabbason. So it says that they're Shabbason. So why do you have to tell me that El Moadei Hashem Mikroi Kodesh Asher Tu'osom Moadom? Why do you need to tell me that they're Asur Malacha on the first and the last days? Hayinu Kasa B'daber El B'chol Shemoy. Therefore, this pasuk must be referring to that they're called Mikroi Kodesh to Chol Moed. And what's the purpose of telling us that? That it's forbidden to do malacha on Chol Hamoed. This is the source from Rabbi Akiva. I don't need the pasuk with Yosef Glili. So these two sources. Further, Tanya Yidach, another brisa tells us. The pasuk says, Sheish is yomim tochal matzos, uviyom hashvi atzeres lahashem. Again, we have a lot of these psukim from the last aliyah in Re'ei, which is Kol HaBechor, which we read on the Shlosh Regolim. So it says in this brisa, this pasuk, Sheish yom tochal matzos, uviyom hashvi atzeres lahashem. What is this darshan? Tells us that Shvi is Atzeres Lashem. Ma Shvi Otzur, just like Shvi is Atzeres, which means to stop, mean don't do Melacha, hold yourself back from doing Melacha, so too, Avshesh Yom Matzurim, so too, the first 6 days are also, one has to hold back Atzurim from doing Melacha. I.e. Ma Shvi Otzur B'chol Melacha, Avshesh Yom Matzur B'chol Melacha, just like the seventh day, you can't do any Melacha, it's all the restrictions of Yom Tiv, with the exception of Ochel Nefesh, it's just like Shabbos, albeit the punishment is different, the severity of the Isser is different, but has all the Isserim of Shabbos, so too, then all of Chol Hamoed should have all the Isserim then of Shabbos as well. Tam Lomer of Yom HaShvi'i Atzeres, that on the seventh day, it is the Atzeres, albeit that tells us that the seventh day is stricter than the other days. While they all have some aspect of Isser Melacha, the seventh day is stricter. HaShvi'i Otzer B'chol Melacha, Ben Shisha Yomim Atzurim B'chol Melacha. But the Chol Hamoed days beforehand, well, of course, not including the first day, but the Chol Hamoed days beforehand, while there is an Isser Melacha, it's not as strict as on the first and then on the seventh day. And therefore, what are the rules for Chol Hamoed? So here we have the famous idea, Ho lo misarin ha-kosov ele l'chachamim, lo malach eze yom osur ve-eze yom mutter. Number one, it tells us which days are an absolute Isser Melacha, and which days are not an absolute Isser Melacha, and eze yom melacha asura ve-eze yom melacha muteris, and what amongst those melachas are permissible and not. So it tells us the difference between Chol Hamoed and the first and last days, and it also tells us within Chol Hamoed what is osur and what is mutter. Certain types of avodas are permissible on Chol Hamoed more so than on Yom Tov, and then there are other restrictions that are eased up on Chol Hamoed, such as a Dovah Ha'aveh, for financial loss, you'd be allowed to do something. If a person needs to do work in order to have food for Yom Tov, you'd be allowed to do so on Chol Hamoed, and not the same, the rules, the leniencies don't apply on Yom Tov. So this is the source, and as I mentioned, there's a big machlokas over here. Is this all D'oraisa, like Rashi seems to bring down, or is this all Dinim D'Rabbanan and the Psukim Aron Asmachta? Okay, that is this series of psukim and drashas that we have, that it's also to do malacha on Chol Hamoed. Again, there's an entire section of Shulchan Aruch that deals with the halachas of Chol Hamoed, what's permissible and what's not permissible, and we're just pointing out here the source for these tremendous number of halachas. Okay, then we quote the Mishnah. It said, "Umutar behesu the tainis," that one is allowed on the day of the Yom Tavoach to do hesped and tainis. According to Beis Shammai, this is the day you weren't allowed to do the korbanos on the Yom Tov itself, when Yom Tov was on Friday, so then you couldn't do it on Shabbos, so then the Yom Tavoach is on Sunday. So you're allowed to do Hespedim and Taneisim on this day. Why? As we said, Shalom L'Kayim, as Divriya Omrim, Atzeres Achar Shabbos, to Lotzi Libam and Atztukim, for the Baisusim, that said that the Shavuos always has to come out on a Sunday. So in this scenario, when it did come out, in fact, on a Sunday, that the Yom Tavoach was on a Sunday, so they would say, aha, you see, this is a Yom Tov, and a Yom Tov, you're not allowed to do a Hesped and a Tainis. So the Dafka, the rabbi said, that you are mutter to do a Hesped and a Tainis. That's why our Mishnah said, that you can make a Hesped and a Tainis on the Sunday of the Yom Tavoach. The Torah questions this and says, now the Yisra we have is Vayitmar, but it says in the Masorah Sashas that it should be Vatanya, because we're bringing in down a Brisa. So Vayitmar normally brings down an Amorah statement, or a general statement, not necessarily a full Brisa. Here it's a full Brisa. Maisa, the Brisa tells us that one happened, Umeis Alexa. This is the source for Alexa in the technology. So Alexa was the name of a person, and he passed away. Umeis Alexa Belud. He passed away in the city of Lud. V'nichlisu Koyisol Usofto. He must have been a great person, and everybody from Koyisol came to go and be masvid him, to listen to the eulogies about him. However, Rabbi Tarfon stopped them. V'lo inicham Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon did not let them eulogize him. Why? Because it was Shavuos, and you're not allowed to go do Hesmeid Shavuos. Where it says, what are you talking about? Rabbi Tarfon had to tell him not to do Hesmeid Shavuos. Everybody knows that. Yom Tov Sokadaitach. You really think that it was Shavuos? That it was the Yom Tov Shav Atzeres? And that's why Rabbi Tarfon stopped them? Everybody knows you're not allowed to do Hesmeid Shavuos. Even Yom Tov Mikosu. Would we really need to stop all of Kai Yisrael from doing an Aveira in public like this? That you're making a Hesmeid on Yom Tov? Everybody knows that. So obviously, Rabbi Tarfon wasn't dealing over here. Yantiv shall atzeres haya ella what ella ema mipnei shayom tevoach haya. Oh, it was this situation where the Sunday of the Yom Tevoach, and it came out that all the people wanted to be masbid this Alexa, and Rabbi Tarfon stopped them because it was the day of Yom Tevoach, and you can't make hespedim on Yom Tevoach. Now Rabbi Tarfon is a Tana, he can argue the Mishnah, but this goes directly against our Mishnah. So what's going on over here? This Braisa seems to be in argument with our Mishnah. The Braisa, Rabbi Tarfon says, you're not going to make a Hesped and Tainus on the Yom Tevoach, and our Mishnah said you are. So Gemara says, Lokasha, that's not a steer between the two. Why not? Because it depends whether you're dealing with Sunday that's Yom Tevoach or not. Our Mishnah, which is dealing with the Sunday Yom Tevoach, so then Lahotzi Miliba Shotstukim, Shalom Lekayim is Divrei Omer, Atzeres Achar Shabbos. So therefore, in that situation, the Badafka allowed Hespedim and Tainis on Sunday Yom Tevoach, whereas Rabbi Tarfon is talking about any other day of the week. So there is no concern that the Tzdukim are going to say, hey, you see, the Shavuos is on a Sunday. No, here the Yom Tevoach is on a Wednesday. Shavuos is on a Tuesday, and the next day is a Wednesday. So then we have all the rules that you normally don't make Hespedim on Isruchag or the Yom Tavoach, and therefore we don't make a Hesped. So that's how you reconcile the Braisa, which says you're not allowed to make a Hesped, where the Mishnah said you are allowed to make a Hesped, Lokasha, Kanviyotusha, Chol Yos, Achara Shabbos. The Braisa, where Rabbi Tarfon prohibits you from making a Hesped on the Yom Tavoach, and it's the day Yontiv is falling out, Achara Shabbos. And the case, as Rashi points out, behind the Alexa, beloved, when this person, this great person, Alexa, he died away in Yom, it was Yontif Shecholios Bechol. It was Yontif on a regular weekday, who the Ein Yom Tevoach Shelo Biach B'Shabbos, and the Yom Tevoach was not on a Sunday. Therefore, there is no concern over here about what the Tzdukim by Susan were going to say, aha, you see that Shavuos comes out on a Sunday, that's why you're not having Hesped and Tainus. So there, Rabbi Tarfon said, since it's not a Sunday, don't make Hesped and Tainus. You're not supposed to make Hesped and Tainus on the Yom Tevoach. That's the basic din. And that's talking about when Sunday was the Yom Tovach. If we were to prohibit making a spade and Tanesim, this would give strength to the position of the Tzdukim. So you see, it's on a Sunday, Atzeres is on a Sunday. So therefore, our Mishnah said, Mutar, Mehesped and Tainis, Shalola Kaim, Estivri Omrim, Atzeres, Achara Shabbos, only for that scenario. So therefore, the Mishnah and the Braisa are talking about two different scenarios, and therefore, the base din is, you're not going to make Hesped and Tainis on Yom Tavoch, except when it's on a Sunday, when we want to Lotzi Milim and Tzdukim, and we allow Hesped and Tainis on that day. Now we turn to Yuches Amid Beis, and we go to a new Mishnah. The new Mishnah starts and actually tells us a whole series of dinim from here till the end of the Masechta that deal with inyanim of Tumah and Tara. Now, the Teferis Yisrael brings down that we technically should be starting a new parak over here. However, we just ended off on a bad note, L'hotzi Milibin Shel Tzdukim, that we shouldn't have their words of the argument that Shavuos is always on a Sunday. They're misreading the Pesukim, so we didn't want to end on this, quote, bad note. So therefore, this Mishnah doesn't start the new Perek. The Perek will begin at a different point, but this really is the end of the Masechta of Chagiga, and we're coming up to the closure of the entire Seder Moed, Baruch Hashem, and therefore, this is really a new inyan that we're discussing. This is one of the sugyas in the Talmud Bavli, where we deal a tremendous amount with inyanim of Tumah and Tara. We're going to be comparing the dinim of Tumah, especially when it regards to Truma versus the dinim of Hekdesh, and I'm not going to give an overall introduction. We'll try to introduce each statement as we go through it, but we have to understand that you're dealing over here with inyanim that we're not familiar with, because Tumah and Tara is not really nogeya nowadays. We have remnants of it. We wash our hands until it's dying before we eat bread, but we don't wash our hands at other times, like the Mishnah is going to tell us that there's certain things that a person would do when he's dealing with Tumah and Tara, to make sure that his hands are clean. Midaraisa, your hands follow your body. There is no separate concept of your hands being tummy. Either your whole body is tummy, or your whole body is not tummy. However, the rabbis instituted many additional restrictions and prohibitions regarding the hands because of the potential for them to be tummy and contaminate, be mitame, various types of either chulin even, or of maiser sheni, that's the next level up, or truma, that's the next level up, or kachim, that's the next level up, or going to be metame the process of making the paraduma, the mechatas, which is even a higher level of stringencies than even for kachim. So we start with the Mishnah, Yudches Amid Beis. The Mishnah tells us, notlim la yadayim. We have to go and wash our hands under certain situations. As Rashi says, dai lohen binitilo dekli. It's adequate to just be metar your hands by washing them from a utensil. You just can't put your hands in water under most situations, albeit we'll see if you put them into a mikvah. Actually, there's a bracha called al tevilas yadayim. Instead of normally our bracha is al netilas yadayim, but you can't just put your hands under running water, under a sink, but you have to use a kli. So for these situations, Rashi tells us, Dailahem bin netilo de kli, she'en bo elo revius maim. It's adequate to go and put your hands to be metar them by washing them with a kli that contains at least the revius. Revius is somewhere between 2.8 and 5.1 ounces, according to the most lenient, the more machmir opinions. This is nogeya, what a revius is in many, many aspects of Jewish life. So we're not going to discuss that here right now, but it has to have a revius. And notably, the Mishnah says, even when you're eating lechulin under certain situations, ula maisa, stam maisa always means maisa sheni, and that has a certain higher level of kedusha. It's famous machlokes remain the chacham as to whether it's mamun govoahu, kointer of meyer. You don't really own it; you just have the rights to use it, but it's not yours. It belongs to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. And the more standard opinion of the chacham is that it belongs to you, albeit it does have kedusha of maisa sheni, which is more than chulin, but less than litruma, which is the next level up, which is dealing with obviously truma that we take off and give to the Kohen, either Truma Gedola, the first crops you take off, either the 40th, the 50th, or the 60th, whether you're a generous person or an average person or a stingier person, and there's also Truma Smaisa, which is the Maisa and a Maisa, that you take off Truma from the 10th that you give to the Levi. The Levi has to take off a 10th of that, Truma Smaisa, and give it to the Kohen. In any event, the Dinu of Truma are the same for both of them, whether it's what we call Truma Gedola or Truma Smaisa. Those are the Dinu of Truma. You have to wash your hands before you Truma. However, for Kachim, it's not enough to wash your hands. Ula Kachim, Ula Kodesh, Matbilin. You actually go and immerse your hands. You do Tvila with your hands. You don't have to immerse your whole body, but you have to actually put your hands into a kosher mikvah of 40 saw. As Rashi says, Avolecho Shlomim Ochatas, to go and eat Korbanos, that's Kachim, or Noshim for the Kohanim, Ochatas or Noshim for the Kohanim, or a regular person eating Shlomim, Yeshmaila, there's an additional stringency that the rabbis instituted, Shetzorech Lahatabil Yodayim Be'abom Saw. You have to go and immerse your hands in a kosher mikvah 40 saw. Yafopi Sheinon Elostam Yodayim. We're not talking here that you know that they're Tomei, they're just Stam Yodayim. Now we have an expression, Stam Yodayim Asconiosim, that your hands are constantly touching yourself, and you may have touched yourself in a place that would make them Tomei Midrabanan. So even though you don't know for a fact that your hands are Tomei, we say Stam Yodayim Asconiosim, and therefore even though it's only Stam Yodayim, just regular hands that you don't know for certain Tomei, and you don't know Shalom Nagu Betumah, you don't have a definite that they touch Betumah Darais on a Darais level, Hamatama, as called a group, which would be Matama, your entire group. Nevertheless, the rabbis instituted a stringency over here that you have to go and be Tovo your hands, even though you have no knowledge that they are Tomei. So you still have to do this. And then the highest level up is the dealing with the paraduma, with the chatas. When you're dealing over here, this is not a chatas of a carbon chatas, this is the chatas called the paraduma. Rashi says, "Ligabi mechatas mayim hamukdoshim ve'efer para lahazos mehem al tmei mesim." When you're involved in touching this or using this in any way, you have to make sure that your hands are extra clean. And therefore, in a situation, if your hands became tamei, you have to go and be matar your entire body. Nitmo gufo, we make this situation that the entire body is going to be considered tamei, and you have to go into a kosher mikvah. As Rashi says, the whole aguf tzorach tvila in this situation. And these are all milos, these are all stringencies over here, the whole milos halalu, shezeh gavoh mizeh midivri sofrim, that each one of these things that is, has a stricter standard, chulin is not as strict as maisa sheni, not as strict as truma, not as strict as kachim, and not as strict as the paraduma, these are all dealing over here with divri sofrim, with dinim derabanan. And why is this included over here? V'hai denokin lo hocho gabi hilchos haregel. What is the connection to what we've been discussing with until now in this parak? L'fishyesh b'sofon hilchos regel. Since it's going to talk about some halachos of the regel, shami oretz chashuvim tohorim regel, specifically that the amaratzim, which normally there is a suspicion that they're not careful and stringent. That's the definition of an amaris, one who's not careful with the dinum of tum and tara. So under normal circumstances, we separate ourselves from the amaratzim in certain ways in terms of tumma and tara. During the regal, we don't want to have two sets of rules. We don't have, there's a base amigdash for the talmid chacham, then you have to have a separate base amigdash for the amaratzim because we don't want to come into contact with any of their kachiv or trumos or taros. So therefore, this is a special din by the regal that we ease up the rabbinical restrictions. So since we're going to be dealing with the regal, and It is connected to this idea of Tumah Tara. That's why this is in Masechtas Chagiga and not someplace else. Okay, so that's the first set of halachas that the Mishnah teaches us about, either Netilas Yadayim, Tefilas Yadayim, or an actual immersion because of the stringencies that the Chazal instituted. Now, the Mishnah continues and says, Tova l'chulin, if a person went and did Tevila for chulin, he went to a mikvah in order for him to be tahar for chulin purposes. There were some people that would eat chulin al certain levels of tara. So he's only chuchzak l'chulin. He's only in this situation considered tahar in regards to chulin. And since his immersion was specifically only to become tahar for chulin, so then if he wants to have ma'isa sheni, he's not allowed to based upon that Tevila. Also l'ma'isa. The rabbis instituted a stringency here that the tevila that you undertook would only work for chulin, it won't work for ma'aseh sheni if you intended the tevila to be for chulin. So you're only chuchzak, you're only clear for chulin, but you're still not allowed to eat ma'aseh sheni. Likewise, if the person was tovel himself in terms of eating ma'aseh sheni, tovel l'ma'aseh sheni, so chuchzak l'ma'aseh, you're only considered tar for ma'aseh, but you're still also a truma. If you wanted to eat truma, you'd have to go back into the mikvah and re-immerse yourself because you don't have a status of being tar in regards to truma, you're only tar in regards to ma'aseh. You go after the intention of the person. Likewise, if he was Tavah L'Truma, he's only Huchzak L'Truma, but also L'Kodesh. His status would be good for Truma, but it wouldn't be good for Kodesh. It's a stringency that we put in here. And likewise, Tavah L'Kodesh, even though he was Tavah in regards to eating Korbanos, Huchzak L'Kodesh, he's only Huchzak L'Kodesh, also L'Chatzah, but he can't work with the Mechatas because he didn't have an immersion for that specific purpose. So your intention over here is critical. And then it tells us, Tavah L'Chomor, the rule is, if you were Tovel for something strict. So, for example, the person immersed himself for kachim, so then, mutu lakal, he can certainly be able to go and eat truma and ma'aseh sheni and certainly chulin. And anyone, if you were tovel for the more chamor ones, if you were tovel for the involvement with the paraduma, with the mechata, so then you'd be good for everything else. And if you're only tovel for ma'aseh sheni, you're good for ma'aseh sheni, but also good for chulin. So the more chamor thing that you're tovel for, that allows you to have that level and also any levels that are less strict. However, the Mishnah concludes with one more interesting din. Tovah v'lo huchzak. If you just went in, you went swimming in the mikvah. You were tovah not for the purposes of tahara, but for the purposes of cooling off, for the purposes of going swimming. So you go into a body of water that is technically a valid body of water to be tovah in, to become tar, but you had no intention of doing so. You just went swimming in there. So v'lo huchzak, you had no intention of becoming tar from going in there. So then ki'ilu lo tovel, it doesn't count. You have to have intention, and it's not enough if you're just in there and say, oh, after the fact, well, I was in that body of water that was a kashrut mikvah. It has the status of being a kashrut mayan, and therefore I'm tovel. No, you have to have, the tefillah has to be with the intention of whatever level of tahara you wanted in order for it to work. Finally, the Mishnah concludes and it says, Big Day Ama Oritz Medris Leprushin. Now, here we have to introduce a couple of ideas. So, Medris is a certain type of a Tumah that a person becomes an Avhat Tumah from contact with this Medris. So, a Medris, for example, is something that is supported by a Zav or a Zavo, a man or a woman that has a certain type of a discharge that makes him into being a Zav or a Zava, or likewise if a woman's a Nida. So if she sits on a chair, that chair doesn't become a Risho. Normally, if a person is Tumah a certain level, and he touches something, it goes down one level. But with Tumas Medris, so the person who has a personal bodily discharge type of a Tumah, like a Zav or a Zava or a Nida, so then they have the ability to keep the thing that they're being supported by on the same level. It becomes an avatuma. So if a Zav or a Zav or a Nida sits on a chair, that chair becomes an avatuma. It doesn't become a Rishon. If they're wearing clothing, so they're supporting their clothing, or the clothing is being supported by them in some way, so then the clothing becomes a medris, becomes an avatuma. If they're either leaning on something, lying on something, sitting on something, or they're being supported by something, so these are all ways that these people who have a discharge coming out of their body, Azov, or Nida, so they make that item into an Abatum and not into a Rishon. If a person's Tommy Mace, he went to a funeral, he becomes Tommy Mace, and now he touches something, that thing becomes a Rishon. It doesn't become an Abatumah. It becomes a Rishon. And therefore, normally we go down, then that Rishon touches something, that becomes a Sheni. But here, with Tumas Medris, it becomes an Abatum. It stays on the same level. So the big day Amoritz, the Amoratzim, that have a garment that is Medris Leprushim, that would be considered an Avatum in regards to Prushim. Prushim is the term that we use for the people that are Nisar, that are careful in the Dinim of Tumah and Tara. And here the Amoritz is a person who is not careful with Dinim of Tumah and Tara. So in other situations, and I'm always going to be somebody who's not careful of Trumas and Maisus, and I'm always going to just be an ignoramus, who doesn't know the dinim. Here, with specifically the definition of an Amoritz is somebody that's not careful in Tumah and Tara, and the definition of Prushin, the people that are separate, are the ones that are careful in Tumah and Tara. They're the Chachamim, they're the Tamid Chachamim. So the big day Amoritz for them is a medrash for the Prushin. So if you want to borrow their clothing, that's why, if you remember, we had at the end of Tainus that everybody went and immersed their garments to not to embarrass anybody that was an Amoritz versus somebody that was careful with Dinah Matua Tara. So everybody immersed the clothing that they borrowed on Tuba of and on Yom Kippur. They all immersed each other's clothing so there would be no concern about Tumah. So the normal status is that the Amoritz's garment is considered like an Avatumah medrash leprushin. And even the Prushin, Big Day Prushin, their garments are considered medras li'ochli truma for the Kohanim, they need truma. So even though the person who is a Talmud Chacham, he's a Prushi, and he's careful about Tumah and Tara, but he's only careful on a level of Chulin. He's not careful on it for the level of Truma. So therefore, the Kohanim that are careful on it on a higher level, so they view the Begadim of the Tamidei Chacham and the Prushim, who aren't Kohanim, as being a medras for them, and they can't eat Truma if they come into contact with those clothing. Similarly, the Mishnah continues, the big day Ochle Truma, these Kohanim, their begadim are medras for people that are eating kachim, medras to kachim, because it doesn't have the same carefulness and zeal in preventing it from having come into contact with something tameh. It's on a lower level of watching, so to say. So even though they're Ochle Truma, the Kohanim are very, very careful about Truma, but they don't have that same level of stringency in regards to kachim. So somebody who's eating kachim, this beged of the Ochle Truma, of the Kohanim, would be considered for them a medras in regards to kachim. And likewise, even the kachim, which is such a high level of carefulness, their garments, Big Day Kodesh, are considered medras lechatas. Their garments of the people that are eating kachim, somebody involved in the paraduma, they're considered medras for them. And the Mishnah gives us examples of how strict we are. Yosef ben Yoezer, he was a great, great Kohen, and he was very, very, very careful, medaktik, certainly in Tumah Vatara. And nevertheless, his kerchief, his mitpachas, his napkin, would be medras lekodesh for somebody that was eating kachim. So his mitpachas would be considered a medras for those that are eating kachim. And likewise, Yochanan ben Gudgada, he was also a great Talmud Chacham, very, very careful. Hoya ochel al taras hakodesh kol yomav, and he was zealous to always eat chulin with the tahara necessary for kachim. And nevertheless, his garments, so somebody would come into contact with his garment, they couldn't be involved with the workings of the mechatas of the paraduma, because it's considered, even on the level of Yochanan ben Gudgada, to be considered a medras when you're dealing with kachim, even though he was so nizar and so careful to even eat chulin al taras hakodesh. That's our Mishnah. He gave us a lot of information, and now we're going to discuss aspects of our Mishnah. The Gemara starts off and says, chulin umayser, mi bo netilas yadayim. We start off and ask, wait a second, why do you have to have clean hands? Why do we say stam yadayim askon yosem, and we have to be concerned that they're tameh when you're dealing with chulin? What's the big deal? Let's say your hands are sheni, so that doesn't impact chulin and maaser sheni as well. Do they require netilas yadayim or mini? I'll show you. We have this in Mishnah Bikurim. Mishnah Bikurim tells us that hatruma vahabikurim. Truma and Bikurim. Bikurim is very much similar to the status of Truma, and you give the first growths to come out, so they're brought to the base of Migdash, they're put into a basket, and they're given to the Kohanim. So Truma is Matnas Kohuna, and Bikurim are Matnas Kohuna as well, so the dinim are similar for eating Truma and eating Bikurim. Chayav Malaya Misa, if a person who is not allowed to eat Truma or Bikurim goes and eats them, so the dinim are very, very strict that somebody eats this is Chayav Misa B'dei Shemayim. Now I go and eat that. And likewise, if you ate it unintentionally, you'd also have to pay back the Karen, the principal of how much Truma or Bikurim you ate, and you have to add on a penalty of a Chomesh. So you have to add on a fifth, which is really a fourth from the inside, a fifth from the outside. I always give the example. If it was $100 that you ate, so you have to pay back the $100, and then you have to pay them back a fourth from the inside, so it's $25. So you have to give them back $125. Now, if you look at $125, the $25 is a fifth of that. That's what it means, a Chomesh. It's a fifth from the outside, which is a fourth from the inside. So if a person unintentionally ate somebody's Truma or Bikurim, so then you have to go pay them a fifth in addition to the Karen. But also Luzarim, and they're not allowed to be eaten by a person who's not a Kohen. The Hei Nechse Kohen, and they belong to the Kohen in terms of property, so he could be Makadish a woman. If a Kohen were to give a woman a Truma or a Bikurim, so he could be Makadish a woman. I mentioned previously that we have a machlokes between Rebbe and the Chachamim as to whether that applies to Ma'aseh Sheni. So in a way, this is a stringency that we have for Ma'aseh Sheni over Truma. Truma is considered the Kohen's. It's not considered Mamon Gavoa, whereas Rebbe holds that Ma'aseh Sheni is considered Mamon Gavoa, and you wouldn't be allowed to be a Kaddish woman with Ma'aseh Sheni produce or funds. In any event, that's a little quirk in the din, but the bottom line is that the Truma and Bikurim are considered the property Nichsei Kohen. But Olam Biachav V'meya, normally the din is Midar Aisa, that batel berov. If you had, let's say, one grain of wheat that was truma or bikurim, and it got mixed up with two other grains of wheat that were not truma or bikurim, they were chulin. So then, in this situation, the din is it's batel berov, that you can't tell which one is which. So you have two against one. So all three are technically considered mutar mideraisa. On the other hand, the rabbis came along and said no. That if you are going to, so to say, be mevatel this mixture, you need 100 against the one. So if you had this one stalk that was truma or bikurim, you need 100 against it. Olam bi'echad u'meya. If you only have 99 against it, then all 99 are considered over here as if they halachically were truma. That is not allowed to be eaten then by a zar. And finally, and here's the part that's going to be the question. You started off asking the question, chulun ma'isa mibo nitil zidayim. So this Mishnah Bikurim seems to say otherwise. It says, unim that this Truma and Bikurim, they require you to wash your hands before you're eating them, and they require, after you wash your hands, that you have Harav Shemesh. The person had to immerse himself in a mikvah, so it's not enough, he's a tful yom, he can't eat it yet that day, he can eat Ma'aseh Sheni at that point, but he can't eat Truma or Bikurim until it's nightfall. Now, Mishnah tells us, Hare Elu Bitruma Ubikurim. These dinim that we just said apply to Truma Bikurim. We're not interested in the first ones, we're interested in the last one, the Tunin Tilas Yadayin. It says, Masha Ein came be Maisa, as opposed to Maisa Sheni, this does not apply to. And if it doesn't apply to Maisa Sheni, if a Koshkin, it certainly doesn't apply to Chulin. So what do you see? This Mishnah Bikurim says, you do not need Nitilas Yadayim for Maisa Sheni, and certainly not for Chulin. Our Mishnah said, you do need Nitilas Yadayim for Maisa Sheni, and for chulin, even for chulin, and therefore kasha meiser a meiser, and kasha chulin a chulin. So the Gemara says, okay, the meiser part we can get around. Bishlam a meiser, the fact that the Mishnah in Bikurim says that you don't have to wash your hands for meiser sheni, and our Mishnah here in Chagiga says you do have to wash your hands for meiser sheni. That's not a problem. Lo kasha, we can reconcile that. Why? Because we can say that's two different opinions. So Rabbi Meir, for Rabbanu. This is a machlok, so Rabbi Rabbanu. What is that machlok? Is that not? Because we have a Mishnah in Parah that tells us, anytime that you have to go and do a tefillah based upon the din midrabanan midivrei sofrim, so then it's metame, it's a kodesh. It has the ability to be metame kodesh. Metame is a lashon that we use when it's metame the item, and it also then can go one level further. So for example, if something is a sheni and you're dealing with kochim, so it's metame it, so it makes it into a shlishi, and that shlishi can transmit it one further. So that we use the lashon of metame, because it not only makes it tame, but it still can transmit it further down the line, because we go up to a revi by kochim. Likewise, if something is tame midrabanan, so that it's a shady, let's say, uposel as a truma. We use the terminology posel as a truma for being metame the truma, but we don't say metame as a truma, even though posel and metame are the same thing for the item that you're doing it to. So it makes it into a shlishi by truma. That makes it something that's significant, but it doesn't transmit to the revi level. So that's why we use the lashon of posel. Posel means it doesn't transmit it beyond this, but it transmits it to that thing. There's no difference between metame and posel for the thing that is being metame. The only thing is, can it go further? So for kachim, we go to a revi level, so we use the terminology of a sheni making a shlishi, we call it tame by kachim, whereas the same terminology, if it comes into contact, a sheni with a shlishi by truma, we only say posel, it makes it tame, no difference. Posel, tame are the same thing for the shlishi itself, but since it can't go further, we use the terminology posel as opposed to tame, metame. So by kachim, it becomes a sheni, it becomes a shlishi. It's metame, it's called the shlishi, because the shlishi can make a revi. But by truma, since the shlishi doesn't make a revi by truma, we use the terminology of posa. So this Mishnah in Parah tells us that something that is tame midirabanan, it requires bias maya midirei sofrim, so it is able to be metame kachim, and it's able to be posa lesa truma. However, umutar lechulin ulamaiser divi remeir. It is not metame chulin and meiser. The sheni, this thing that's obligated on a sheni level, as tome midirabanan, cannot make chulin or meiser sheni further tome. Divrei Reb Meir. The chacham also Reb Meir. The chacham say no, by meiser it could. So therefore, our Mishnah over here in Chagiga goes according to the Chachamim that say, yes, you do have to wash your hands for Meiser. So therefore, it's not a stira to the Mishnah in Bikurim that says you don't have to wash your hands for Meiser, because our Mishnah is saying, like the opinion of the Chachamim, that are Osru B'Meiser, and the Mishnah in Bikurim is saying, like the opinion of Rabbi Meir, that it is Mutter B'Meiser. So therefore, Meiser or Meiser is not a Kasha. Our Mishnah is a Chachamim, the Mishnah in Bikurim is Rabbi Meir, and therefore, it's, well, they're different opinions, but it's not a stira. It's not, well, we have two different opinions, so it's not a problem. But Elachulin, Achulin, that's the Lakasha, because nobody says that you require Netilas Adayim for Chulin, but our Mishnah does. So how come our Mishnah requires Netilas Adayim for Chulin, and the Mishnah in Bikurim says you don't require Netilas Adayim for Chulin? And here you can't say it's a Machlokas or Meir and the Chacham. Everybody agrees that you don't require Netilas Adayim for Chulin. So how come our Mishnah says that you do? So again, it's not a stira Lakasha. It depends what you're dealing with. Kam b'achila, in our Mishnah, it's talking about eating chulin. And therefore, there's a chumra over here that even before you eat chulin, you have to go and wash your hands. As opposed to, the Mishnah Bikurim says you don't have to wash your hands, it's just to touch it. So if you're picking up a loaf of bread, so you don't have to wash your hands. But if you're eating the loaf of bread, then you have to go and wash your hands. That's why there's no stira between our Mishnah, which is talking about eating and requires washing your hands, and the Mishnah Bikurim, which is talking about touching, says you don't have to wash your hands to touch chulin. More questions. It's Maskev Lo Rav Shimi Bar Ashi. He says, wait a second. Rav Shimi Bar Ashi says, Ad kan lo pligi rabbanon alei de Rav Meir. This machlokes that we just brought down in regards to Meiser between the Chachamim and Rav Meir, with Rav Meir saying, you don't have to wash your hands, and the Chachamim say, you do have to wash your hands, that's only Ella Ba'achila de Meiser. That was the machlokes in regards to eating Meiser. The Chachamim say, you have to wash your hands. Rav Meir says, you don't have to wash your hands when you're eating Meiser. Avo b'negia de Meiser, and certainly Uba'achila de Chulin lo pligi. They're not arguing. Everybody says you don't have to do that. So to touch Meiser, even the Chachamim say you don't have to, and certainly in regards to eating it, nobody says you have to wash your hands. So that can't be the way you're reconciling our Mishnah. It says you have to wash your hands for Chulin. Shmuel says you're right. Our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Bikurim are both referring to eating. So why is it not a stira of Lokasha? Because Kam Bachila de Nama, Kam Bachila de Peri. Our Mishnah is talking about eating bread. You have to wash your hands. The Mishnah Bikurim is talking about eating peiros that are chulin, you don't have to wash your hands. Because the Omer of Nachum, taught us, call notul yadayim leperos, arayz zeh migasi aruach, that anybody that goes and has the stringency of washing the hands before they eat fruit, so that person is an arrogant person. He's mechzi ki yuara. He said, oh, look how great I am. I wash my hands even for eating fruit. When the din is that you just have to wash your hands nowadays for eating bread and not for eating fruit. Those dinim of Tumah Matara are no longer applicable. As Rashi points out over here in Dibra Masu Kamachila de Peri, 2 lines on the bottom, he says, Hodik Tani Masha En came by Meiser, Biachila de Peri, Kamar. It's talking about eating fruits of Meiser. Umiyu be Truma, by Natila. By Truma, that requires Natila. Shafilu be Maga, who posa. Because even touching it will make the shiny hands touching the Truma into a Shlishi. The shiny posa is a Truma. But by Peros, this doesn't apply. By bread, it does apply. And therefore, that's the answer. Our Mishnah is talking about bread, and you have to wash your hands, and the Mishnah there is talking about eating peros, you don't have to go and wash your hands. Continues, says, Tana Rabbanon, Anota Yodov, if somebody washes his hands, so it all depends, as we said already in the Mishnah, on your Kavana. Niskavein, if you had intention that you wanted your hands to become clean by the washing of them to remove the Tumah Yodov Taurus, so then your hands are no longer Tameh. However, lo niskavein, if you had no intention, Yodov Tameh, then your hands are in fact Tameh. They did not become tar, even though you put them and did Netilas Yadayim with them. Likewise, if you put your hands into a mikvah, so niskabin yodav, if you intended that they should become tar, so then taurus, they become tar. But if you just had some schmutz on your hands and you wanted to get them clean, lo niskabin yodav, you didn't have intention, then tmeas, they remain tameh. Ayin, where it says, learned in a brayis of Otanya, ben niskabin milo niskabin yodav taurus, we have this brayis that it says that your intention is not important, whether you intended or not. If you did Netilas Yadayim on them, or you were tovel in a mikvah, they are in fact tar. So I'm a Rav Nachman, not a stira over here, lokasha. It depends. Kan lechulin, in the second brayis that we just brought down, where it says, Bein iskavi melon iskavi yodav taros, that's in regards to chulin. And we turn to your testament aleph. But in the first brayis, where we said, unless you had the proper intention, they're not going to be tar, that's in regards to Meiser Sheni. So Meiser Sheni has a higher level. It requires intention, whereas Chulin does not require intention. Now, this is going to lead us into a more detailed discussion about this. This is a good break point for us to stop over here. We'll chazer over this last statement, Mitzvah Shem, when we start the shir tomorrow. With this, we conclude today's shir.